come to church on Sunday and just the routine of it. As we went through the church, through the churches, and the puppet, we see how the churches, how God is, how the Lord Jesus is speaking to us through the different churches. And I just pray that as we've been going through this, this has been encouraging you to actually have a time of reflection. A time of reflection and actually going deeper with the Lord. That as we read through the book of Revelation, it's not a scary book. It's actually helping us to understand really who the Lord is. Today we're going to look in Revelation 3, 14 to 22. It's the last church of the seven. And is the one of the seven churches that is in very bad shape. It's a church that some say it kind of reflects the church maybe in this present time. It's apathetic. They allow anything to go. They allow the world into the church, but yet they're dead because they're neither hot or cold for God. They are just going through the motions. You know, the word Laodicea means rule of people or the rights of people. It speaks of time when the church will become in love with its own strength, with its own power, and for the rights of the people. It's a time when the authority of God and the authoritative word of God are ignored and rights of individuals are magnified. Does that speak just what's happening? It's all about, we don't really take what the word of God says. We don't believe the whole word of God. Some of us, there's people that say, I don't believe that the word of God is the whole truth. And it's mind-boggling. So you can see the deception. The word of God is the absolute truth. The word of God is powerful and is active. It is the ultimate truth that we go by and that we base our lives on. It's amazing. And Laodicea was an important center of trade. I'll just do some history here. Because you can see why maybe they went the way they did. So Laodicea was an important center of trade and was an extremely wealthy city due to its production of fine quality black wool. It had a huge wealth. You know, it speaks of, you know, even how Alberta was. We had this great wealth. Things we were moving, things we had abundance of. It's amazing what happens when that abundance is taken away, where your eyes go back to. Instead of looking to what you have, but you turn towards the Lord. Right? He wants us to have our eyes fixed on Him, not what we have in the bank account. Not what we have already possessed. Because what we should desire to possess is Christ. To have Him number one in our own lives. Not what we think we should have, but the thing we should be having and desiring is Christ. You know, Laodicea had a huge reserve of finances. And it had a major earthquake in 60 AD. It totally destroyed the place. So the citizens of Laodicea, the government said, oh, you know what? We'll help you rebuild the city. You know what they said? No, we don't need your help. We got enough money. We could do it on our own. right? They didn't want any help because they had everything. They thought they had everything. And so here, choosing rather to do it themselves entirely, not depend on anybody else. Lucia was more self-sufficient in the realm of money than they also had a medical school that was far none. Like everybody else was looking to them because they had a great medical class, the school. The school of medicine was famous for the special anointment that could cure diseases and infections in the eye. Lucia was definitely wealthy, successful, and sufficient. No need to rely on anyone. However, spiritually poor. Right? And the Word of God always says, do not just store up the wealth of this world because it's just going to perish. It doesn't mean anything. I'm not against by having stuff, but don't let it be your focal point. Let Christ be your focal point. For the wealth and success of Lucia possessed, the city had one major problem, and there was a water system. You know, even today they have this water system still there, right? Even though the city is destroyed, there is remnants of this water canal. And it took water that was 6 miles away, or was it 9.7 kilometers, isn't it, roughly? But it came from two different sources. One source was it came from these waters like from hot springs, right? So while it traveled along these canals, it became lukewarm. It was hot and it cooled off. Then another source of water they had came from these cold rivers. And the water was ice cold. So what happens along the way? It would warm up. It would become lukewarm. Right? And so when Jesus was speaking to them, they knew what he was speaking to them about. It's a long, you know, it's just amazing. Like, it's if you look, Google it, YouTube it, here they are, they're showing these aqueducts. So I want to turn to Paul. Paul had a correspondent relationship with the church of Laodicea. Right? And in Colossians 2, so this is not the first letter that was ever written to the church. Paul wrote to the church. So in Colossians 2, 1 to 8, Paul is saying, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all those who have not met me personally. So they have never met him. It's always through a letter that how they know him, right? My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures in wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see and how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. I think, even for myself, am I overflowing in thankfulness in the Lord? See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. It's amazing how from this letter into Revelation, what Jesus is already speaking to the church about. Because they became worldly. They'd rather be in the world and not to be dependent on Christ. They were depending on their own righteousness. They were dependent on their own good works. They were not dependent on the Lord. And here's Paul in Colossians speaking to this church and encouraging this church before Revelation, before Christ was speaking to them. It's amazing how God speaks to us throughout our walk with Him. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in the bodily form, and you have been given to the given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. This is who Christ is. He's ever powerful, and he's authoritative in the body of Christ. He has absolute authority. And the church of Laodicea did not walk in that authority. They didn't depend on the Lord. They were absent. They were dependent on themselves. Right? As we'll read Revelation 3. But even so, in Colossians 4:13, it says, well, even 11, we'll start at 11. So 4:11, it says, Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. Those who are the Jews among my fellow workers of the kingdom of God, and the power that they proved a comfort to them. Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. He's wrestling in prayer for the church of Laodicea. Here he is wrestling. So there must be a reason why he's wrestling in prayer for them. That you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. He wants them to be fully mature, fully grown, to grow up in the faith, to be established in the faith. Right? This is his prayer is for the church in Laodicea, and like all churches, to be fully mature, fully assured in Christ. How are we today? Is God still working in areas of your life to mature you? And so that you be fully assured in Him? Because I know He's still working in me. He's not done with me. He's still developing me. Right? When He's not doing that in your lives, be she asking, Lord, have I hardened my heart towards You? Lord, am I doing things that are displeasing to You? Lord, am I operating in my own strength? Right? We should never be a day or a week that the Lord is not revealing and teaching us, molding us, and that we be fixed in our eyes on Christ so that we know where our strength comes from, where our very life comes from. It's scary when you could do it on your own, because you're really saying, Lord, I don't need You. Lord, You can stand back over there. Lord, it's okay. I got this. Right? When we want to see the move of God, we need to have a hunger for Him. A desire for Him to be working in our lives daily. And to be habitating with Him daily. Not just on Sunday. Not when I feel like it, but daily. And you know what? The Lord is saying, you know what? If you're not, repent. Cry out to Me. And I will strengthen you. I will help you. The Lord doesn't just abandon His children. He encourages them. He comes alongside them. He helps us. He's a God that cares so much for you. He just can't walk away from you. even though at times we walk away from Him. It's about the heart. It's the heart that the Lord Jesus is talking about in our lives. How is your heart today? Right? How is our heart today? Lord, search our hearts. Reveal anything in our hearts that is blocking you. Lord, let us not just go through the motions of this world, the motion of just looking good on Sunday, but Father, let it be an everyday reliance on You, knowing that we can't do nothing without You, because You are our strength. And he talks about, Paul's like, he's saying that stand firm. So I vouch for him that he is working hard for you, and those at Lucia and Harpless, and our dear friend Luke, the doctor, Demas, sends greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Lucia and to Nymphia and the church in her house. So here he's sending a letter to them, to this church. There has to be another letter that Paul wrote to the church that we don't have. Right? Because there's more to this than what meets the eye. He must be speaking to them. He must have other letters that he was writing to them. It's in Revelation 3, so we'll read this, because this is the main text. So Revelation 3, 14 says, to the angel of the church of Lucia, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. One or the other. He wants either be hot or cold or hot. Not in the middle, right? Because they would know what he's talking about. Because they had water coming in. It was hot when it came out of the ground, and it cooled off, became lukewarm. They had water that was cold and became lukewarm. So they knew what he was talking about. Right? The Lord talks to us in our own language. He makes it so that we will understand what he is trying to portray to us, so that we will hear what he's saying to us. Right? And so that's why he's trying to say, I wish you were either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That's a gross sight. Doesn't want nothing to do with them. Absolutely nothing. He doesn't want to have nothing to do with this church. You say, this is the church. This is Jesus, because he knows our thoughts. He knows the church. And he says, this is what you are saying, that I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize, this is Jesus saying to them, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Do you see how spiritually blind these people were? I counseled you to buy for me the gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and save to put on your eyes so that you could see. Those whom I love, I rebuke. Jesus is rebuking this church. Why? Because he loves them. When Jesus rebukes you, you should be praising him and saying, thank you, Lord, that you rebuke me. That you are correcting me. Don't say it's Satan. Satan doesn't want to rebuke you. Satan doesn't want to say, get right with God. Satan just says, go on your own merry way. Come on, keep up the good work. Keep on not listening to the Lord, because you're just going where I want you to go. Devil does not rebuke you. He condemns you. God rebukes you because of love. He wants you to come back to Him, to know Him, to love Him, and adore Him. Too often we give Satan too much credit, and it's tiresome. Satan is defeated. When we walk in the authority of Christ, we don't have to worry what Satan's trying to do, because our eyes are fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith, who is the one who gives us strength, the one that we look to. So no matter what Satan's up to, who cares? He's defeated. Quit giving him the power over your life. Quit blaming him for things. Sorry about that. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he be with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus wants us to hear what he's saying. He wants us to know him. He wants to correct us because we go astray. It's easy to go astray when life is easy. When the things of this world, or people are saying, you got to have this, and we measure success by what we have, instead of measuring success by having a love and a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, and a relationship that is far none to anything else. When we have a healthy relationship with Christ, everything else falls into place, because Christ is first. Right? That is what he wants. He wants a church that loves him. When Jesus says, I am, the words of the Amen and the faith and the true witness, he's proclaiming who he is. It's amazing through all the churches, he always tells who he is to that church. He's reminding them he is God. He has complete authority. When he says, I am, why do we say amen at the end of when we pray? Amen. Or when somebody says something good, amen to that brother. Why do we say amen? So be it. And we're agreeing to what? What God says, and it's the truth. We believe wholeheartedly that is the truth. So when we read Scripture and we say amen, we are agreeing that is the truth. Right? That's why Jesus is saying that amen, the words of the amen. He is the truth. He is true. Nothing else is true. No one else can you get the truth from but Christ. He is the truth. Jesus is confirming. He's giving affirmation of who he is, that he is the truth that we should be desiring, the truth that we should be knowing. Jesus is the absolute truth. Right? The Word of God is absolute truth. So we can't add or take away from the Word of God. The Word of God, because there's a warning when you do that, the Word of God is truth. His truth sets us free. His truth is what penetrates the very core of our being to change us, to make us into the people, men and women, that he wants us to be. Right? His truth is what sets us free. So take hold of his truth. Jesus, in John 14:6, he says, I am the truth, the life, and the way. Right? I am the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. Nobody goes to the Father except through Jesus. Not me, I don't want to say me, but through Jesus. But that's what he's saying. Right? And sometimes it's not easy to hear the truth. Do you think the Church of Laodicea received this truth with gratefulness? How do we receive truth? When somebody out of love comes to you and says, you know what? Man, I see what you're doing. I see what's happening. I've been praying for you. Would you be willing to receive that truth from them? How would you respond? Would you respond negatively or positively? How we respond actually reveals our heart condition. If we are honestly seeking the Lord, and somebody came up to me and says, you know what, I've been praying for you, and maybe see if this fits, but the Lord really speaking to me about this, right? Do I take it from the Lord, or do I just say, you know what, I think that's not of the Lord? We need to be prayerful, because the Lord will be speaking to us about it already. Right? The Lord will use people. Perhaps there's a blockage that we can't receive from the Lord in that area. How is your heart? That's the key of the gospel, the heart condition. I think in Ephesians 4:22 it says, you were taught with regard to put your former way of life, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully. You know, when we get to heaven, we'll be speaking truthfully. We won't be no lies, no white lies, we call them, but we will be speaking truth. Jesus is speaking truth to us today. How are we going to receive this truth? Are we going to harden our hearts, shut them down some more? How are we going to receive this message from the Lord? Think of why it's important to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, search me. Know my anxiousness. Know my every thought. Reveal anything that is detestable to you. Right? And so when he does come to you, it's easy to receive it. He's a very gentle, kind, patient God. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work for it, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, not only what is helpful, but what is for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as Christ forgave you. Here's the truth that God is sharing with us. Put off the old. When you come to Christ, you become a new creation. He's talking about building godly character in us. And it takes time. It takes time to build godly character in you. It's sanctification. So as we go through the list, say, Lord, search my heart. What godly character trait do you want to work in my life today? Step one. Lord, what is it? Lord, is that what you're saying to me today? This is, and you pray and you say, Lord, help me to be an overcomer in this area. It's amazing how the Lord is very gracious and loving. He didn't look at Laodicea. He was that way. When Jesus speaks, he speaks the truth, even when it might be hard to hear. And that we need people in our lives who are willing to share God's truth with us. And that's why we have a body of Christ. We are all to be sharing with, and sharing and encouraging one another in the truth of God. Not to make you feel warm and fuzzy. Not to be there and saying, consoling you and along the way for years after years and trying to enable, and actually fact, we could console you for a bit, but we need to actually encourage you and enable you to move forward in your walk with Christ. When you enable somebody, they do not grow. They do not become mature in Christ. They continue to be babes in Christ. God wants to grow godly character in his church. He wants us to grow in godly character. So what is lukewarm? Lukewarm is defined as being moderately warm, lacking conviction, or being half-hearted. Right? Scripture talks about when you're half-hearted, when you got one foot in the world and one foot with God, you're tossed back and forth. You don't know which way to go. And usually where you're if you're more in the world, that's where you're going to move to. You know, lukewarmness is having a form of righteousness. It's having a form of righteousness, but denying the power of the Holy Spirit. That's 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of righteousness, but denying the power of the Holy Spirit. So who are the lukewarm? Right? The religious people. The hypocrites. You think in Jesus' time, do you think the Pharisees were lukewarm? They were. Because they said, look at me. They had all these beautiful robes on. They looked good on the outside, but inside, it was nothing. They were dead. So a lot of times when people are lukewarm, they look good on the outside, but dead inside. You know, they think they have it all together. Lukewarm people think they have it all together. They go through the motions to do all the right stuff, to say the right stuff, to say, oh, I'll talk about the Bible, right? But never go too far with the Lord. They'll stop, but they'll go into the world. So they like both places. They enjoy both places. They thrive there. Never allowing the Word of God to expose the condition of their heart. That's why Luke people see, are just where they're at, because they have this form of righteousness, but they're denying the work of the Holy Spirit. So here they are, they have the Word of God exposes to our hearts, exposes the condition of our heart. Don't beat yourself up if you feel like you're lukewarm. Because God still has control, and God is still calling you out of that. He is not done with us. So don't beat yourself up. Do not go in a pity party. If he didn't love you, and if he didn't love the church of Laodicea, he would not go and rebuke them. Jesus is wanting the church of Laodicea to see their need, to see the real condition of their heart. That is why he's speaking to the church of Laodicea about their lukewarmness, to see the condition of their heart, to see this condition of their, how they are spiritually dead, how they are spiritually blind. They can't see the truth. They're blinded from the truth. They don't think they need anything. They have it all. Right? When we say we have it all, I don't need anything, should I suggest maybe ask the Lord to search your heart even more? Because we don't have it all together. Christ is working in us. The Holy Spirit is continue working in us, sanctifying us. We should be desiring to grow deeper with him. We should be desiring to have a hunger for him. Now, if you have that, you're not lukewarm. There's different hotness, right? You know, being lukewarm, they are affected by their surroundings. The world, they are affected by the world's pursuits. The society can entice them to be in part of that world. And they really don't want nothing to do with the church, even though they say they're the believers. The bride needs to be set apart. The Lord Jesus wants his bride to be set apart from the world. Not to be part of the world, but to be separated from the world to influence the world. Right? We should be the thermostat that affects the society. The church of God, the body of Christ, should be the thermostat that affects the areas that God has given us authority in, places where we are, so we can affect the surroundings, because we are looking to him, that we are abiding in him, that we are drawing from him, that he is the one that is pouring into us. That's how we should be affecting the society, not the other way around. So why does Jesus wish they were either hot or cold? He says, I wish you were either hot or cold. Why would Jesus want one or the other? So what happens when you think of somebody who is hot? Spiritually hot, I mean. Hey? What character traits do you think when you think of somebody who's spiritually hot? What character traits do you comes to your mind?
Zealous.
What character traits when you hear somebody who is hot in the Lord, like they're on fire for the Lord? What character traits do you come to your mind that would say that is the character trait of someone who's hot for the Lord or zealous for the Lord? Joyful? Yeah.
Passionate?
Yeah.
Prayer.
Hey?
Strong in prayer.
Prayerful? Yeah. Because we're always still growing in prayer, right? Yeah. Prayer? Yeah. What else? Yeah, fruits of the Spirit. Perseverance, abiding, growing in Christ, right? The desire to grow in Christ, right? A love for the Lord. You know, when you are hot for the love, you start to hate sin more. That's only God doing that. You start to hate sin more. More and more you hate sin, it really gets you angry. And it gets you boiled, right? But that actually makes you press in closer to the Lord. So when somebody is spiritually cold, what happens when you're cold? Do you think he's talking about a believer or non-believers? Yeah? So does he want you hot or cold? But think of it spiritually. If somebody was spiritually cold, is it easier to speak of the gospel to somebody who's cold or to somebody who is lukewarm? Cold. Yeah, because they admit they're cold. So it's easier to share the gospel with people who say that they are cold than to somebody who is lukewarm. Because people who are lukewarm say, I got it all together. I don't need none of that. I'm good. You don't need to pray for me. Oh, good. I got this. Right? But somebody who is cold, they admit their spiritual, where they're at spiritually. They're more open to be honest and saying that they need the Lord. In 16, he says, you know, Jesus says, 3:16, Revelation 3:16. He says, this is why I'm going to spit you out. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich and I acquired wealth and I do not need a thing. Do you see that? He says, I do not need a thing. The Lord is revealing to them how spiritually dead they are. He's saying to them how deprived they are. He wants them to know their spiritual blindness. He's saying that they are missing someone who is vital in their life. Plus, they're denying the work of the Holy Spirit and that they're dependent on themselves. When somebody says, I don't need a thing. There's pride. We were talking about pride. People are sharing about pride. You know, religiousness has no power. That's why we need to say, Lord, I thank you that you're working in me and that you're changing me. In 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but this is the mark. It's in godlessness in the last days. But this is the mark. There will be a terrible times in the last days. I believe that we're in the last days, or the last day, last hour. I mean, the way things are going. And who knows the day or the hour. But people will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. have nothing to do with them. And why to have nothing to do with them? Because they will corrupt you. You can pray for them, but don't get caught up with them. In verse 18, Jesus is saying, Revelation 3:18 says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by the fire, so that you can become rich, whitened clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and to save to put on your eyes, so you can see. There is three things that the Lord reveals that we need. We need to buy gold refined in fire. So what do we value in life? 3:18. Yeah. So what do we value in life? What is valuable in this life? What do we value in this world? What do we value in this life?
Reputation.
Yeah? What should be valuable in our lives? Christ should be the valuable thing in our life. Christ should be the most valuable thing that we should be longing for. Right? Christ is the one that is the most valuable thing that we could have. You know what? We can't buy anything. When Jesus says, you know, you could buy, I counsel you to buy from me refined in the fire, we can't buy anything from the Lord. He's been facetious to them. Because they're saying, you got all this money, I could dole it all out and buy whatever I want. Right? He's saying that you cannot buy what I could give you. It's Jesus who purchases us by his blood, by the work of the cross. What we can receive from the Lord is forgiveness of sin, salvation, redemption. We are given a ring of sonship. We are given a robe of righteousness. That's what we get from the Lord. It's nothing that we purchase. We don't purchase anything from the Lord. We receive it from the Lord. We come to the Lord and we say, Lord, here I am. I'm a wretched man. I need a Savior. I repent of my sin. Lord, come into my life. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm tired of doing this on my own. This is the greatest value, having Christ. What we purchase on this world will not come with us in heaven. It stays here. But what we do for the Lord builds up treasures in heaven. But we desire to love the Lord and to be about his business. Christ is the one who takes away our shame, who gives us hope. He gives us assurance. Taking what is broken, healing, and restoring us. This is Jesus, you think of this, he says, I'll give you a white robe. Think of what they were proud of, this black wool they had. What does black really represent? Sin. And death. They were so proud that they were making money off this stuff. And Jesus is saying, you know what? That black robe that you're so proud of is death and it's sin. But I will give you a white robe. I will take your sin away. I will redeem you to make you holy and righteous. That's what Christ does for us. We don't come with gifts to give to Christ. We only give ourselves to Him. Say, Lord, here I am. He says, I will cover your shamefulness. He takes away our shame. When we come to Christ, He takes away our shame. So when we come to Christ and confess whatever sin it is and whatever brokenness that we have, He takes away that shame so that we do not live in shame any longer in that area of our lives. He restores us to the fullness of Christ. Those whom I love, I rebuke and disciple. So be earnest and repent. Get right with the Lord. 20, he says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You know, here is Jesus saying, here I am. I stand at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens it, I will come in and eat with him. He wants to commune with you. He wants to be a part of your life daily. It shows how far Laodicea had fallen away from the Lord Jesus. But Jesus is one to reclaim his sheep. He wants to bring back his sheep. The Lord that the church of Laodicea professed to know and love is not inside of with them. They didn't have the love in the side with them. They had Jesus on the outside, knocking at the door. Jesus was not in their midst. Meanwhile, the whole time he's knocking at the door, knocking, knocking. Do you think they might come and open up the door? Is the Lord knocking at your heart today? Says, you know what? Open it so I could come in and commune with you, to restore you. Jesus should be them in our midst. Because if we're gathering truly in his name, he needs to be in our lives. Not outside of our lives. Not to be an addition to our lives. He should be in our lives. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. For he cannot disown himself. 2 Timothy 3:13. So if we are faithless, he will be faithful. For he cannot disown himself. Since we are bought and purchased by the blood of Christ, he can't disown us. But he's going to try to revive us and bring us in to the fullness with him. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Christ is warning us to listen to what he has told the seven churches. Which church do you resemble? The church of Ephesus, who had lost their first love? The church of Smyrna, who had endured suffering but remained faithful to the end? Pergamos, who had allowed false doctrine to enter their beliefs? Or the church of Thyatira, who allowed sexual immorality in their lives? Or maybe the church of Sardis, who appeared to be alive but actually were spiritually dead? Maybe the church of Philadelphia, they were small witnesses, continue holding fast to Christ? Or the church of Laodicea, who was lukewarm, despised by Christ? Maybe don't say it out loud. How is the Lord speaking to you today? In the last weeks, which church do you represent, resemble? Right? We need to say, Lord, reveal to me. Right? Lord, reveal to me. And to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Let's be overcomers. Let's be the salt and light. Let us ask, Lord, to give us spiritual wisdom, spiritual insight. Let us not see with our natural, but see spiritually. You know, Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. This is 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They do not understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Let's be the church like Philadelphia, who are passionate in love with the Lord, who desire to reach the lost, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and be quick to repent and be right with God. That's my hope. I just pray that the Lord, we don't harden our hearts to the Lord. Right? You went.
Nervous about this song because it's just so rich and powerful. I just can't help, before we proceed, if I can encourage everyone to just let go of the time right now. Even myself, I have to fight the thoughts in my head saying, like, it's 11:45. You know, we've been here a while now, but we are receiving such richness right now. How could we just shut the doors on the Word of God just because of time? Thank you for that message. For this last song and for the next little bit, we just want to, of course, sing a song, and we want to read some various scriptures, and we'd like to encourage you, if you want, just stay seated, you know, take this time to really allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Write things down as He's speaking to you, or pray. Take this time to pray if there's someone or some place on your heart. There's freedom, guys. There's freedom. I'm going to read from Psalm 145, actually. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Yes. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised.